to another edition of the Rouse Review. I'm your city manager, Dan Hoffman, and with me is PIO Sarah.
Hello.
Fry.
Got it right this time.
There you go. It only took me multiple podcasts to get that right consistently. And even still, I hesitate. But hey, I'll get there.
It took me more than a year of being married to get it right. It's fine.
There you go. We've got a pretty full agenda today. We're going to be talking about WinTran and a brand new thing at WinTran that I think you will, even if you don't ride WinTran, you're going to want to listen to this. Because I think it, even if you're not a rider, let's say you've never ridden WinTran before. If you live in the city and you need to go places in the city, you're going to want to listen to what the new program is. So stick around for that. We'll kind of close things out talking to small business owner Heidi Hiller about her shop down here in the Walking Mall. She's always great to chat with. I think you will enjoy meeting her via the podcast. But right now, I want to talk about what we have going on tomorrow night at the city council meeting. Sarah, is that okay with you?
I guess if we have to.
And then we'll get into, then we'll go down to Sarah's corner and she can tell you about what's coming up. That sound good?
I do like telling people about what's coming up.
There you go. Now what's coming up tomorrow night, yeah, there might be some stuff you are, as the resident of Winchester, you might be interested in. First off, there are, we do have a few public hearings. We've got a, I know we had some folks show up last time regarding the PUD, the Planned Unit Development, over on York Avenue. So that's going to have second reading. On the other two are a little more, I think, procedural. There's a sewer line easement in there. There's a couple of easements, actually. One is for an environment that the state is asking us for. So kind of straightforward stuff. But York Avenue, it's probably going to generate some discussions. That is a public hearing. So if you are concerned about that, or if maybe you're one of the people that support it, show up, make your voice heard. then we're going to get into a couple of items. First off, there's the first reading on another development project over on Robert Street, and the first reading for a change to the Enterprise Zone. And that is it for the regular meeting. Now, in the, we will have a work session this time.
What?
Exactly. It's the rare work session that pops up. And we do work sessions when it's really just discussion items or special topics that don't require any kind of vote. They're more informative for counselors. So we will stop the meeting. Reconvene, we'll adjourn one meeting, and then within a few minutes reconvene into the work session, which honestly, it's, there's a reason why we don't do a lot of work sessions anymore. A lot of this is handled at the committee level. Otherwise, we would have work sessions that go into the wee hours. So we normally don't have work sessions because of committees. But this time, this is a topic that came out of Public Health and Safety Committee. They wanted it discussed at full council in a more work session-like setting. So that's why, and I haven't even talked about the item yet. It's a sheriff. The City of Winchester Sheriff's Department has been asked to answer some questions. And so that's what's going to happen. They're going to be providing their, they've already provided materials. If you go online, you can see the topics. We're talking about take-home vehicles and hiring policies and stuff. So a lot of administrative aspects of the Sheriff's Department. You can check that out either by attending or by watching online. So that will be the work session for the evening. And then we'll adjourn, and go home. So that's what's coming up tomorrow night at council. What's going on down in Sarah's corner?
Well, down in my corner, we've got a, let's start with a fun thing.
Okay.
It is October.
Mm-hmm.
And with October comes Halloween.
Yes.
So if you're looking for
Halloween, the event we do not schedule, organize, or anything of that nature.
No, if you want to trick or treat, go for it.
Go
we
for it.
Have no rules, thoughts, or opinions on where, when, or how you should go about doing that?
No, we do not. And if we do, it's rare. It's seldom. I found out, it was before I even started, there was one or two years when there was a significantly bad weather on the calendar date of Halloween. So we sent out an advisory indicating that, hey, it might not be the safest or most or smartest thing to go to trick-or-treating on the actual Halloween day. Consider doing it this other day. From then on out, people started asking, hey, when's Halloween going to be this year? No. Look at your calendar. The date that says Halloween is Halloween. The city doesn't schedule Halloween. I don't even know how the date is picked. It's Halloween like the solstice. You're looking at me like I...
Halloween is always October 31st.
Oh, I have no idea.
Always. It has nothing to do with what day of the week it falls on.
I have so any holiday, I am horrible. I know when Christmas is, vague, and Thanksgiving, and that is it. July 4th, because it's in the name. But some of these other ones, when you're like, hey, when's Labor Day? I don't know.
The first Monday in September.
Sure. You tell me that. But I got to...
Do you know when Apple Blossom is?
It's in April.
No. No, not even the right month.
May?
First full weekend in May, and okay, it's the weekend before Mother's Day.
Oh, okay. So see, there's rhyme. There's so many different dates. I don't keep track because I don't schedule these things. I'm the city manager, not the manager of holidays and the days they fall upon. I look at a calendar just like everybody else and say, hey, when's Halloween this year? Now I know it's always on October 31st. But does that mean is that a Thursday? Is that a Friday? Is that a Monday? There's nothing worse than Halloween on like a Tuesday.
It's tricky.
Yeah. No pun intended. So, okay, we've gone down a rabbit hole. What October Halloween activity do you want us to know about?
I want you guys to know about some spooky fun happening at Jim Burnett Park on October 20th. That is a Friday evening. Mm-hmm. From 6 to 8 o'clock, we are going to be out at the Rotary and Exchange Pavilions. Okay. There is going to be a spooky fun trail that you want to have a flashlight for. There's going to be trick-or-treating with different city departments. Ooh. There's going to be crafts, a costume contest, special treats, all kinds of fun, exciting stuff going on at Jim Burnett Park.
For the family. Yeah. This is not a raucous Halloween festival. This is Jim Burnett Park. And it's 6 to 8 p.m. So our target audience are families.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're a 20-something and you're looking to go out and have some Halloween fun,
it's not it.
This may not be the event for you. There's plenty of stuff like that happening in the walking mall.
Yes.
You can go to any number of businesses down in the walking mall that I'm sure will be celebrating Halloween. This one is for, all the families in Winchester.
Yes, it is.
Does it cost anything?
No, it is free to attend. There will be concessions for sale,
though. Awesome. So residents of Winchester, this is a free event the city is putting on for you.
Yes, it is.
Excellent. We will be talking more in a brief moment about Saturday mornings at Ralph's, but hey, the next one's on October 21st, right?
Yes, it is, starting at 10 a.m. in Ralph City Hall in the Zuckerman Room. Mm-hmm. Learn everything you ever wanted to know about When Ready.
When Ready, and we'll talk more about what that is in a moment here.
When we're ready.
When we're ready.
And finally, the community survey is out. If you have received a yellow community survey in your mailbox, please take 15 minutes, fill it out. Council looks at your answers. They think about your answers. They use your answers to help drive strategy and planning. And
we wave your answers in front of them all the time. So please do this.
We need to know what you think. We need to know how you feel. We need to know what you think we're doing great at or what we're doing terribly at. Mm-hmm. We want to make the city the best city in the world.
Absolutely.
And we can't do that without your help.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this, you know, all joking aside, this is pretty important. And we're going to base a lot of budget decisions this coming year on this. We're going to be referring to it continually from the day it's finished until the day we do the next one. It will be referred to all the time. It is a statistically significant measure of what the wants and needs of the city are. So if you got one of those in the mail, go fill it out. There is also a online version too, winchestersurvey.org. But really, if you got one in the mailbox, you know, we took the time to mail you one.
And we paid for the postage to send it back.
Postage. It'd be rude if you didn't do it, right? I mean, right? So, yeah, be cool. Fill it out. Return it. What else you got?
Those are all the updates and important announcements I have.
That's a quick trip down to Sarah's Corner. So we're going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to come back. And this thing we've been teasing for a little while with Perry and Microtransit and WinReady and Tran. We'll go back in just a minute. Stick around. Okay, welcome back. Perry Eisenach, Public Services Director, who's been on more times than I think anybody else now.
I think more than me.
Well, yeah.
Well, I should get a prize then.
You do. Yeah, your prize is you get to implement the new microtransit service.
Oh, that's a great prize.
Are you win ready for that?
We are win ready that, yes.
So, everybody, microtransit is a term, I don't want to say it's a technical term, but it's really more of an industry term for the change that we're implementing at WinTran. It also is not, it's a little wonky and not super friendly or approachable. So to brand, and we're kind of rebranding this segment of WinTran.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling it WinReady. WIN. READY, not WHENREADY. Win as in Winchester. Ready as in, are you ready to be picked up?
That's exactly.
That's right.
You nailed it. Yep.
I got it. Who came up with this name?
I think Justin Hall was the first one that.
I was going to say there were a lot of people in the room, but I'm going to go with you and say Justin gets the credit on this one.
I think
Justin
so.
Hall. Yeah. So Justin gets the prize. So we are calling this new aspect of WinTran WinReady. It's going to be, what we see as really the next evolution in the growth of WinTran. Growth in the sense that we're not expanding out much. You know, we're still within the city limits. We're still the city's transportation service, with a couple of small exceptions where we do have small routes that go out into the county. But really what WinReady is and what the microtransit initiative is an expansion of our service to provide better service, faster service, and service that really gets people to from where they are to where they need to be, not just, hey, do you have to go to school or work in the morning? Get on the bus and go. This will take you in a much more efficient fashion to all of the other places that life needs you to go. Grocery stores, doctor's appointments, all of these things. we hope that, and we know that, WinReady is going to be a better vehicle, no pun intended, to get folks where they need to be. So, Perry, take a moment here and talk about how WinReady is going to be different than the traditional WinTran.
Sure. So our current service is based on what we call fixed routes. Mm-hmm. So we have 8 different fixed routes in different parts of the city. Mm-hmm. But there's specific bus stops on each of those routes. Mm-hmm. So in order to ride the bus, you have to go to one of those bus stops. And
wait for up to 70 minutes in some cases.
Yeah, and you know, if you do not live close to a bus stop, it could almost take you 2 hours to get completely across town by the time you walk and wait for the bus, and you might have to change which bus you're on. So,
which is not good for a city of 9.2 square miles.
It's not at all.
When you can walk across the city in 2 hours, but you can't actually get there on transit in 2 hours, that's a problem.
It is a problem. Yes. And we hear that from a lot of people that, hey, the existing service just does not really help me all that much.
Yeah.
It doesn't take me to where I want to go when I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really, I would say, a step up in service, because now people will be able to schedule a ride. They can either schedule a ride on their app. There'll be a phone app, or there will be a call center. You can call and schedule a ride. But when ready, we'll run throughout the city, and we will pick people up in their neighborhood. You know, folks might have to walk maybe a block.
Yeah.
Not very far, but we will go in every neighborhood throughout the city and pick people up and take them where they want to go.
So instead of, let's say they're going to the grocery store and they live over, they want to go to the Martins that, you know, they typically go to is the one on South Pleasant Valley, but they live on, let's say, the southwestern corner of the city. They're going to have to probably take two buses.
Right.
They're going to go up to a transfer point, switch buses, come back down. So the first, they're going to need to walk to the bus stop. So let's say they live kind of tucked back into a neighborhood. They're going to walk possibly up to a quarter of a mile, probably, to get to Valley Avenue, where the bus will pick them up when the bus gets there based on its schedule. So let's say that's a 5-10 minute walk. Let's say they time it, we'll just say right down the middle. It's a 35 minute wait for the bus. They get on the bus, their trip is already from the moment they have left their house to the moment they actually board the bus. They're already 45 minutes into their trip, which is not great, not a great place to start.
Right.
Then they're going to take that bus north to the transfer location. They're going to switch buses there. Now, that drive up there is from South Valley up to that point.
Maybe 10 minutes.
10, 15 minutes. Not the ride itself, very short.
Right.
So we're up to about an hour at this point where they transfer. They need to wait for the next bus. And if this, you know, this is a situation where they probably have even less control over timing. Let's say, but we'll give them, say, 35 minutes again. Right down the middle. So now we're up to an hour and a half, roughly. They're then going to take the bus about another 10 to 15 minutes down to the Martins on South Pleasant Valley. We're close to, you're right, we're close to 2 hours at that point.
Right.
And they have just gotten to the grocery store. So the idea of doing that with kids, or making the return trip with cold groceries or frozen items, is completely out of the realm of possibility. Under, now describe what would happen under when ready.
So under when ready, this person who lives down in the southwest part of the city, they would schedule a ride. We would, if they schedule in advance, we will pick them up at their desired time. But we will go down, pick them up, and this vehicle will be picking up and dropping off people as it makes its way over to Pleasant Valley.
Now, that pickup time, let's say they haven't scheduled a time. They've realized, oh, I got to go to the grocery store. They call up or they go on their app. They need a ride as soon as possible. We're still talking about only a, what, 10 minute wait, maybe?
Yeah, 10. In the real peak hour, you know, peak times, it might be 15 or 20 minutes, but I think the majority of times it's going to be 5 to 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes. So they've only waited 5 to 10 minutes so far.
Right.
And then they're in the vehicle, which is not, you know, in some cases it might be the Wintran vehicles they've seen before, but we're shifting over to smaller vehicles. So maybe a smaller vehicle comes over and gets them.
Right.
And then they're going to get on in a kind of a pool, a pool of people who are also looking to be dropped off somewhere.
Right. And so that vehicle, is routed through a very sophisticated computer program that so the driver knows where to let people off, where to pick people up. And so this person may be on the bus maybe 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
And
they're already at the grocery store.
And then they're let off at the grocery store.
So let's say they didn't schedule in advance. They wanted to, they forgot an ingredient at the store. The only way they have to get over to the store is through the bus. They've waited 10 minutes for the bus. It's gotten them over there in 10 to 15 minutes. So that 2 hour trip is now 25 minutes.
At most.
At most, yeah. That's kind of a huge, I mean, that's a massive improvement in service time.
It is. And I think that once people learn about this and find out about it, I think people are really going to embrace it and want to use it.
Yeah. Now, part of the way we're able to do this is that we are cutting back on those fixed routes a little bit.
Right.
So tell me, I know we get questions from people about, well, I go to this bus stop every day. I get on the bus. I take the bus from that bus stop to work. How am I going to, if that bus stop goes away, how do I get to work? When ready, they're still covered.
Yes, they still are covered. So instead of having 8 fixed routes, we're going to have what we call 1 loop route that will really run from downtown to the hospital, down Valley Avenue, over to Pleasant Valley by Walmart, and then up to Berryville Avenue, back down downtown. So people will still be able to ride that fixed route, and there will actually be 4 buses running that same route. So the longest you would have to wait for a bus is probably going to be like 10 to 15 minutes.
Gotcha. So the no longer a 70-minute headway.
Right.
Headway for those non-transit people is the amount of time between each bus is the headway. So they are, even if they go to the remaining fixed route, which is that giant loop, that circulator, which will have buses going in the clockwise and counterclockwise direction.
Right.
So you can still go there, not wait 70 minutes, and get on that main kind of circulator and get to a lot of different very useful places.
Absolutely.
In fact, in some cases, when ready, might take you to one of those stops because it's the most effective way to get where you're going.
That is a possibility, yes.
Yeah. But the algorithm in the Win Ready app calculates what is the fastest way for you to get from point A to point B.
Yes, that is always the goal, is how can we get you there the most efficient, quickest way?
Yeah, yeah. And even if that might still occasionally involve making a transfer to a different vehicle, which, yeah, we all want the nonstop flight, right? Sometimes, though, the best way to do it is to make a connection.
Right.
So with this, you know, what should the folks won't be getting on your typical bus anymore. As we start to replace some of the fleet and as we get some of the newer, smaller WinReady vehicles in, what should they expect in terms of their experience when that vehicle pulls up and picks them up, you know, a short walk from their house, what should they expect?
I think over time we want to be operating with vehicles that maybe have 10 to 12 people capacity. So not nearly as large as our current buses, but you know, it's going to be a very nice, clean ride. Our drivers, they love what they do. They're friendly. They get to know the people in the community. And I think people are going to look at this as a really safe, efficient way to meet their daily needs.
Yeah. And there's still, you know, all of our, people might not know this, but all of our WinTran buses have cameras.
Right.
Not just focused outside. Inside as well.
Yeah.
For everyone's safety, these smaller vehicles will also have safety features like that.
Right.
So, I know one of the analogies we use when we talk about how this microtransit when ready system is very, we compare it to Uber Pool, mm-hmm. right? If you have safety concerns about Uber or those types of ride sharing systems, you know, we at least have cameras.
Right.
We have trained folks who have a direct link into a dispatch center that has, you know, a direct link to public safety. There's, again, cameras. There's trained drivers. So it's although the function might be similar to Uber Pool, there's a vastly different safety aspect to this. So if safety is your concern, it's just as safe as the current Wintrans service.
Absolutely, yes.
So we're not the first person to do it. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, this is amazing. City of Winchester is really creative and they're doing such amazing new things. Thank you. Thank you for thinking that we came up with this on our own. you can keep thinking that if you'd like, but we are not the first to do it. In fact, I did this in my last job. So we're not even the first necessarily in the state of Virginia. We will be, I think, one of the few jurisdictions to really roll it out system-wide from the get-go. Even in my last job in Gainesville, it was just for certain areas of the city. But this is going to be a system-wide change. Talk about some other places. I know that in Virginia use something like this.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. We're not the first ones to do this. I think that in Virginia itself, the town of Wise has implemented this. The city of Norton in Southwest Virginia, and the Bay Transit Express in Gloucester and Middlesex counties, mm-hmm. they have implemented some microtransit service.
Awesome.
And all the reports that we've received is it's very, very successful, and the people
yeah.
love it.
Yeah.
And
well, there's a reason why, not to overutilize Uber as an analogy here, but there's a reason why so many people adopted and stuck with Uber, not because they love Uber as a company or that it's, you know, it meets their core values or something, but just because it's a much more user-friendly, convenient, and kind of, it's just a better way of providing the exact same service. So I think when people get used to the app and how it works, there will be a very quick adoption period because mm-hmm. it's going to be the kind of thing that, you know, we expect our ridership to increase significantly.
We do.
We anticipate that between the savings from getting away from some fixed routes and the increased ridership, we actually are confident that we're going to be able to deliver this at a cheaper per ride cost to the taxpayer.
That's right.
And at the same time, you're cutting people's trip time by more than half, mm-hmm. you know, in some cases it's by, you know, 70-80%. I mean, it's right. pretty dramatic. So, but that doesn't mean there won't be a lot of questions about how it works. Talk about some of the things we're going to be doing to reach out to folks, to train them on how to use the new system.
Sure. So, starting on October 21st, which is a Saturday morning, we're going to be rolling out a series of public meetings where we're going to be talking about microtransit. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be going to meetings throughout the community, throughout the city. And this will be a great opportunity for people to come learn about this new service. And most importantly, ask questions. And we want to hear from people, you know, mm-hmm. what's important to them. And we really want the community to embrace this.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
We want to make this service beneficial for them. That's the primary reason we're doing this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that first one, is that the morning, the Rouse?
That is Saturday mornings at Rouse this month.
So it's this month. That's true. It's already October.
It's
everybody.
October.
It's October. So this month on the 21st
yep.
is the first one of those. And it's going to be in the format of one of our Saturday mornings at Rouse, which you tend to do half of them. So last month was Stormwater and you got enlisted for that one. This month you're doing Win Ready, And there'll be plenty of opportunities for folks to get familiar with it. I know we're going to do a bunch of videos. I know there's going to be training on the app. So plenty of opportunities. When do you see this act? When is this actually going to go live?
It will go live in March of next year, 2024.
Gotcha.
So, don't know the exact date yet, but it will definitely be in service by the end of March.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Anything else we should know?
No, we're very excited about it. I think this is really the first major change that has been contemplated in our transit service in many, many years.
Yeah.
And we're very excited about it, and we certainly hope the community will be too.
Excellent. I'm sure they are. Thank you very much, Perry, for coming in. I'm sure you'll probably be in the next one and the one after that.
So. Always happy to be here.
We might say bye, but it won't be bye for long. Thank you very much, Perry.
You're welcome.
Welcome back. We are now going to do a little segment that we call this one Fact or Fiction?
No, this one is Five Favorite Things.
Five Favorite Things. Okay, we're playing Five Favorite Things, the Handley Traditions edition of Five Favorite Things. So, Sarah, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Okay, first of all, full disclaimer. Dan nor I went to Handley High School. No.
I have an excuse. I didn't live here.
I'm a proud James Wood High School graduate.
Proud. Sounds
I know. To be fair, though, both of my parents went to Handley. They had may or may not have had input into this list.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right.
I'm sure your mom did.
Oh, yes.
Having met your mom once, I am absolutely positive that there was significant parental input into this list.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
So not to trigger anybody too much, but playing football on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah. That is a favorite tradition of some people, mm-hmm. I will say.
Not for college football fans.
Not for college football fans. And honestly, not for the students.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyone that has to attend a game when it is 1,000 degrees in the Handley Bowl on a Saturday afternoon. So playing football on Saturday is a tradition. It is a favorite tradition of the people that live around the Handley Bowl. but, you know, it is something, honestly, I know the superintendent's going to be taking a look at that. I know students have been asking for this for a long time. And this particular season we have, at least I've been told that there have been a lot of issues with people passing out, heat exhaustion stuff. So it's a favorite tradition of some people, mm-hmm. let's just say. But that is a school thing, not a city thing.
And if you have thoughts, opinions, or concerns, reach out to schools.
Say, send that over to Handley. All right, what else we got?
Walking the beloved steps of Handley High School at graduation to get your diploma.
Now, this one I can attest to, even though I did not go, my son graduated last year from Handley, and I've attended every graduation since I first started this job, and it always is so impressive. The parade of students coming down the steps, the school, of course, as you all know, is gorgeous. I was very happy when I moved here to see that my kids were going to get a tradition like this. So this one, I think, is high up on a lot of people's list.
I would agree. So this next one came to me by way of both my parents' generation and also my own. I reached out to some friends, and they all said this was one of their favorite things.
Really?
So
I wonder if it's a generational thing too, because I wonder if you asked kids today, do you enjoy singing the alma mater? I wonder what their reaction would be. Because I think when we were growing up, I don't know, maybe we're old fashioned.
I wouldn't have enjoyed singing it, but I am also a terrible singer. So
yeah, that is a good point. All right, so singing the alma mater.
My mom and dad loved it so much. My mom went to my dad's 1969 Handleyan yearbook and took a picture of the text of the alma mater.
Oh, wow. It's been the same alma mater, right? It's not changed?
No. It in the Shenandoah Valley, neath the sun's warm glow, stands the home of Handley High School, finest place we know.
Oh, yeah. I think the same one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's your alma mater. What's number four?
Number four is a super cool one. And it's not just Hanley. This is all the Winchester Public Schools, but every senior does it now. It used to be every single student in the school system did it, but marching to the tomb of Judge John Hanley every spring to place flowers on the grave.
Which is always, this is another one that I've done at least two of the 3 years so far. But this is also this is a neat and unique one to Hanley. Obviously, our namesake is Judge John Hanley, who provided the endowment to help build the school. He also did the library here in town. So Hanley is the fact that we honor him and he is buried in Mount Hebron Cemetery, that's very cool. That is a legacy that I am happy to hear that we celebrate. And five is
like, honestly, I think the longest lasting one I could find. This was a thing when both my parents were in school. It is a thing that still happens to this day. The junior class runs the concession stand at all the Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon football games. Mm-hmm. And that's how they fund prom. And it's called Junior Stand. Mm-hmm. And they all take great pride in how much money they earn from it and the beautiful proms that they get to throw based on Junior Stand money.
I had no idea.
Well, now you do.
There you go. It sounds like it's... Well, if the kids enjoy it, more power to them. I can say when I was a kid, any kind of fundraiser that I had to be involved with, I hated with every ounce of my being. So the fact that these kids have such pride in their school and they want to create a nice prom for themselves, I think that's fantastic.
And it's a tradition that's gone on for forever.
There you go. Okay.
And all of these in honor, of course, because this Saturday.
That's true. It's Maroon Mania.
It's Maroon Mania in the city.
Exactly.
And the penultimate moment is this weekend with Hanley High School's homecoming.
Yeah. Homecoming is this weekend. It's Maroon Mania. Wear your maroon. The weather will... I don't know. The weather's supposed to be great on Saturday. But we'll see. We'll see. But it's, yeah, Maroon Mania. There's only one cure. More maroon. Okay, awesome. So those are our five favorite Hanley traditions.
There they are.
As curated by Sarah's mom.
No, there were other graduates in there.
Sure.
Special shout out.
And dad.
Special shout outs go to Brandy Dove, Kelly Mink, Michael Partlow, and Tyrus Thomas.
There you go. Okay. That's a nice focus group there. All right. Thanks for... listening. Thanks for checking that out with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to shift gears and talk to Heidi Hiller of Murphy Beverage Company right after this. We just talked about When Ready. So you already know that it's going to pick you up on your block. Going to take you where you need to go much faster, but this is a new thing, so I'm pretty sure you still have questions. But Perry, who we spoke with a little earlier, he and I are going to have answers to all those questions. Just join us Saturday, October 21st at 10 o'clock here at City Hall for a workshop about When Ready and how it works. So register today. Go to www.winchesterva.gov. Spaces are limited, so we are asking you to sign up. It is kind of a classroom workshop type of setting, so we keep the seating somewhat limited. But this is one of many ways for you to learn about how Win Ready is going to work in a very hands-on fashion. So if you're interested, Saturday 21st, 10 o'clock, go to winchesterva.gov to sign up now. Okay, welcome Heidi Hiller, the owner of Murphy Beverage Company. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Dan.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
We see Heidi pretty frequently, probably more frequently than I should admit on a podcast. but Heidi is a relatively new owner of a small business downtown, although it's not a new small business. Heidi, to start off, how did you, we've obviously had a chance to chat about how you got here, but one of the most fascinating things I learned when we started talking was, you know, you went from corporate world at a big firm to small business owner in the downtown walking mall. So tell me about how you got there.
So, well, I think first off, we've been, like my husband and I are both, you know, we've been in Winchester a long time and, you know, we don't live too far away. So we'd always kind of been a part of Winchester and especially a part of like the old town. Mm-hmm. So at some point I knew that I did not want to continue my corporate career, even though Booz Allen was lovely to work for. Mm-hmm. But I knew in the future I'd want to change. And so, you know, as we were talking through things, you know, years ago I had gotten a certification as a sommelier and I was like, well, I'd like to do something with that.
How'd you pronounce it?
Sommelier.
Oh boy. Okay. Real quick. Is that how it's supposed to be pronounced or are you being cool and making it?
How do you think it's supposed to be pronounced?
Sommelier.
Well, now you're making me freak out that I'm pronouncing it wrong.
But no, you're the expert. If you say you've been in more circles that have pronounced it correctly over the years, that I'm going to go with yours as opposed to mine. So say it again.
Well, now I'm going to flub it. So
no, go ahead. Come on.
Sommelier.
No, that's how I just said it. Now you've changed.
Okay, now I can't read it. It's gone.
You said, Sarah, she said, well, oh man, we should play it back. Maybe Steve can edit that in.
Sommelier.
You said it kind of sommelier.
Like maybe I just.
With the French tilt.
More French.
Exactly.
I just said it more French.
Say it with a French accent.
Sommelier. Oh, now I can't.
There you go. Now you're saying it the right way. Okay. Or the French way.
Heidi, don't let him stress you out. You should have heard him when we had Dr. Jason Van Heukelum on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot.
And then did he end up eventually say his own last name incorrectly?
No, he knew how to pronounce his own name. But yeah, this is kind of a common theme where we get into pronunciations of things. It's just one of the educational benefits of listening to this podcast.
It's true.
But let's just go with some
a psalm.
Some, yeah, sommelier. Just kind of.
Yeah, we can
it.
Say psalm. Psalm is psalm.
Is that an actual term?
Yeah.
When people say call him a psalm.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. If you want to be cool,
you can just
and you're in a restaurant, say, hey, could you send out the psalm?
Yeah, but don't snap your fingers at them.
Oh God,
no, that would
just be a jerk thing to do.
But it would be a very jerk thing to do.
Now, granted, you will look a little. I don't know how you're going to come across if you ask for the psalm to be sent out.
I think L'Auberge is one of the few restaurants that has one anywhere nearby.
Who?
L'Auberge Provençal, and the owner's son.
Okay, you're definitely flexing into a French accent every so often now. And I think it's just to show off, but okay. Psalm.
Yeah. Anyway, there's not very many restaurants anywhere nearby that have them that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
The Inlet of Washington must.
They would. And then like, L'Auberge has one, and then, but I'm not. Okay. I mean, technically, Sexy Mexi has one because Charlie works there, 10 Bar.
Oh, okay.
So they have one.
There you go.
So speaking of Charlie.
Yes.
Why don't you tell everybody who Charlie is?
That's important. Let's get back.
Yes, let's back to.
Just
to
call it a psalm and we'll be done with it.
Yeah. So do we want to go back to kind of how I transitioned from corporate world or,
yes.
or talk about, you, talk
well,
about Charlie?
Get there, sure. Right? Start with corporate world. Yeah. Big life decision.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, so I think that, you know, at some point you decide you might want to do something a little different than your life than, you know, have a desk job that's, you sit at your desk all day. And so I think that was kind of, I just had a hard time envisioning spending the next, you know, until I retired doing a desk job. Even though, you know, I had great clients, I had a good company to work for, I had good colleagues. So, you know, we had thought of a couple of different options, and then I had talked to Charlie Fish, you know, she and JP Murphy had owned Murphy's. And so while I was getting my certification, I had talked to Charlie and I was like, and after I'd done it, I'd said, you know, if you and JP ever want to sell, let me know. I think Chad is my husband. I think we'd be interested. So, you know, at some point in the future, she said, you know, JP and I are planning to sell. Are you still interested? Mm-hmm. And then, so I was like, you know, I need to go ahead and talk with Chad and I'll get back to you. And then we talked it over and kind of what it would mean for our life and, mm-hmm. you know, changes like how we would, you know,
go ahead and just say, yeah. Afford it.
Afford it. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah. So that was a big thing.
Yeah.
And then, so we decided to go ahead with that. So, but it's a big change. I really enjoy that I'm out like mm-hmm. downtown and that yeah. I'm, out getting to talk with people and, you know, a wide variety of people. And a lot, you know, I have a lot of regulars. I have people that I knew prior to owning it. And now I have people now that, you know, I know mm-hmm. because of, you know, cause they're regulars of the shop, not in a bad way. In a good way. You yes. know.
It is possible you'd be a regular and not an alcoholic.
Yes, very, very possible. Yeah. Wine enthusiasts yes. is a hobby.
There you go.
Well, I mean, you could, you know, pick a, you know, a bottle or two a month and I would still think of you. You know, I would definitely know you. So
there you go. It's more testament to her memory of her clients as opposed to their possibly latent alcoholism. Heidi's form. It's too bad this isn't recorded because you could see the wheels turning in Heidi's head. Is how do I respond to that?
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't paint all of my clients. Okay. Well, I think we probably are in there once a month to see.
Yeah.
You. Yeah, we were in there just this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were going to be gone at the conference.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, Lindsay needed something to drink while I was gone.
Yes, she did.
She always drinks when I leave. Yeah, she has to. So she just has to cope. No one laughed at that. You all act like that was a real thing. I don't know how to take it.
Well, it's better for her to have to, you know, miss you and need the wine as opposed to you being there and forcing her to drink then.
This is true.
Could have been way worse.
I think she might drink more when I'm gone. Anyways, moving on before I get in too much trouble. So back to you being a psalm.
Yes.
How did you become a Court of Master Sommeliers level 2? And as a follow up, I would like to know, like, did you have to give them an organ, the, you know, the soul of a firstborn? Cause this definitely sounds like something, the court of some type of Dungeons and Dragons, thing. How did you become level 2?
So,
in this cult.
Yeah. So, well, that the Court of Master Sommeliers is an organization that
Sommeliers. That's what it is. There's an L in there when she's pronouncing it. Sommeliers.
Okay. So it's an organization, and
she is not having time for your shenanigans. No,
she doesn't want to derail another question with this.
And so there's different types of wine certifications, out there, and that, you know, that's one of the two main organizations. And so if you meet someone who is a certified sommelier, then they, now I just said it differently. Then,
I'm in your head.
Yeah, you are. Then they've gone through the Court of Master Sommeliers. And then if they've become a master sommelier, which, you know, people know about, it's very famous, that's, they've gone up to 4 levels. That's the only highest level we can do in that. And that's the same organization.
Level 4 is.
Level 4, yep. Mm-hmm. So.
That's when you get the secret ring and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've spent a lot of money.
Yeah. How much? That's a good point. So how much does it cost? Is there like a price set for each level?
Yeah. So if you, for the first level, you go to like a 2-day class, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And then you take a test to get that level. And I think, I can't remember how much that was, but the level 2 was around $400-$500 to take the test. And it's a full day test. Cause you do all of your studying. Like you just go in that day and then you take the test, but you've done all of your studying outside of it.
Is there tasting involved in the test?
Yeah. So the test was pretty interesting. So there's 3 parts to it, mm-hmm. and they generally do the tasting as the first thing you do. It's usually at 8 a.m. And they have you blind taste 4 wines, 2 reds, 2 whites. It's not any wine in the world. That's what you'd see at a master level. But at this level, you get given a list of common varietals and where you should know them from. Like Cabernet, you should know from California, and you should know from France, though it's usually Bordeaux blends. And then you should know from Australia.
So if I put three glasses of red wine in front of you, and they were, what variety did you say?
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cab, right?
Yeah.
And it was a cab from those three regions. You could tell me which region it's from?
I'm a little out of practice on the blind tasting. Just, it's just yes, I can just do that still. Yes,
she has done it. That's all that matters.
I have done it.
In case the court listens to this podcast, I don't want them.
The crazy thing
pulling
is,
your rank.
You don't after every retest.
Really?
No.
Mm. Oh, that's amazing.
No, you just But I mean, if you were to do something with it professionally and you didn't remember anything at all and
you couldn't, like a fool.
Oh, you totally would. Yeah. So you have to you know brush up on your knowledge, but like. Blind tasting is definitely a skill. I mean, some people, yes, are better than others, but like I would work on it with Charlie and then with another gal, and she was taking a different exam for a different type of certification. But so we would work on blind tasting.
Wow.
You know, every week we would do it one day a week, and we did this for months.
Yeah.
And so that we didn't always do blind tasting, but we would always like work through wine. And so...
Fascinating.
Yeah, so there's so the
what level was Charlie?
Two, same as me.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So and the reason they do that blind tasting is so that you can assess wine. So it's not just so you have this parlor trick, it's so that you're able to assess wine.
Oh, that's why I want it. It's totally for the parlor trick, by the way. So,
That is a fun aspect.
I'm actively doing the math on how much this parlor trick would cost me if I wanted to do
it. You don't have to get the certification, but we could you spend a lot of time working on tasting wine.
But the cool part is to say I'm a part of the Court of Master Psalms.
Yeah. Some people just do it because they just want to be able to say that. And you get a little pin.
Really?
I have a little pin.
Ooh.
I don't wear it, obviously.
So I would wear it every day.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Just ta-da. Yeah.
Hey, what's that pin for? Oh, I'm a Court of Master Sommelier. What level? Level two. And then just act like that's like, I'm level two.
And back to the test. So you do that. You do blind tasting. You do theory, which is like... multiple choice and like a short answer. Like it's, you know, it's a written exam about that actually is interesting because it doesn't just cover wine. You have to do a little bit on spirits, a little bit on sake. I think I might've had one question on beer. Yeah. Cause the idea of it is that when you get the licenses or the certification rather is that if you were working at a restaurant, you should be like the beverage expert.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, wine is the thing you'll know about the most, but you should be able to have a good knowledge of other things.
Especially as those drinks relate to wine.
Yes. Yeah. And then you do that exam. And then also you have the next part of the exam is a service exam. And so you do proper wine service for a table, but there's just only one person sitting at the table and they're a master psalm. But they tell you who's at their table because proper wine service is dictated by who's sitting at the table, whether it's men or women, whether there's a guest of honor. And then you're supposed to always serve, clockwise. So there's so you have to do the service exam. And so that's really, that's kind of geared towards restaurant.
Is it a pass fail exam or is it?
I don't remember.
Are there a number?
Like, yeah, there's numbers. And I think you get rated in each section, and I think you have to get above a certain amount on each section. So the service exam was pretty interesting because to prep for that, because I had not, I hadn't worked in, I'd waited tables a long time ago, but I'd not been doing wine service. So I bought a case of cava from Murphy's. And when people would come over, I would do mock wine service. So I was very popular for a while. People would come over and I'd be like, do you want some cava? Because you have to also, it's almost always the test is done on sparkling wine. And you're supposed to be able to open sparkling wine in a particular way.
Wow.
Like you're not supposed to make a noise. You're supposed to keep the label pointed at the customer the whole time. There's a whole thing.
It's fancy.
So I had to practice it.
Heidi talks with her hands. So she, anyway, how about level one? Is that just like a write-in exam? It's a mail-in questionnaire?
It has some insane pass rate of like 80 or 90%.
There we like, go. But you can go. Still say, I'm a quartermaster. I'm a sommelier. What level?
Level one.
Yeah. So they just do a written exam at the end of your 2-day class. But they also, while you're in class, mm-hmm. you work on blind tasting. Like they teach you kind of the methodology and you work on it. And so, it's useful. It's fun. But you can't, I don't know that you can skip it to go to level 2.
No. I think I'm just going to go with level 1. Because that sounds like take a 2-day course and then a pass exam at the end.
Do you still get the pin?
Yeah, I mean, you get a pin.
It says number 1.
It's a different pin. They have different colors.
Who's going to know?
The different levels have different colored
pins.
That's
true. They won't know that level 1 isn't the top. Level 1 sommelier. And they'll be like, ooh, level 1.
Could
it's like first place, right?
Yeah. Well, I did actually study for that exam too, apart from the 2-day class.
Yeah, but
Maddie, you're a very,
this isn't the nicest way possible,
you're
but you're a nerd.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Okay, so we've beaten that into the ground. And there's a couple other things that I wanted to before we run out of time, that I wanted to talk about. So you have, stepped in, you purchased a fairly well-established mm-hmm. small business that was been here in town for
25 years.
25
this year.
Years, right? What has that been like? How have you built relationships with some of the other downtown businesses? Yeah. Like what's been your approach to taking over somewhat of an institution?
Sure. So, I mean, I think a big part of it is having, having had a good relationship with Charlie and JP. Charlie and I were friends and we had, I'd studied with her to prep for the exam. So I think that part of what made the transition easy is it was a very wanted thing from both sides mm-hmm. and that she and I and, JP and I and they with, my husband, we all have a good relationship. So it was a very easy to work on transitioning things smoothly because there's no acrimony about it. So I think that was kind of one big part is just, kind of all of us wanting to make that transition go well. Mm-hmm. And I think another part about just kind of like, relationships with, other businesses downtown, having been a customer like of a lot of places, kind of have established relationships mm-hmm. that way. And we actually have like our neighbors are the Shendows who own, the Shendows who are old, the elder Shendows own Bell's. And so we have some other folks that, whether neighbors or friends who are also local business owners, like our other neighbors had, it owned Wise Carver before it had to be before they sold it and shut it down. So I think there's also that as kind of having people that we had relationships with who could provide guidance maybe and kind of give insight into what it was like owning a business downtown and just owning a business in general. But I think there's also like. I think the city does a good job about, there's different like forums and things that you can attend to.
Thank you. We do.
A little shameless plug. So that you can some of the public safety things.
Of course.
And that was interesting going to the meetings and then seeing seeing Lenita there and seeing Christine from the book gallery. So that's also always kind of fun to see like kind of the downtown like business community at some of those things.
Yeah. The walking mall business community is very tight knit. It's one of the more of all the different places I've seen or worked in. It's one of the more tight knit little business communities. And I think a lot of it, not to pat ourselves on the back, but city does a lot of outreach. It's our only historic district. It's our only downtown walking mall.
Yeah.
And it is very much, the beating heart of of the city. So we do put a lot of extra time and effort into making sure that it is healthy, a place people want to go and places where the businesses can succeed, because if not for them, there would be no downtown walking mall. So we put a lot into it. All right. One final question.
Sure.
Most popular. Okay. I might have two questions. Most popular product right now. What are people coming in and saying, hey, do you have fill in the blank?
Oh, well, right now, because of the time of year it is, it's pumpkin beer.
Oh my God. Really?
Oh,
people
yeah.
still do that, huh?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Okay.
I do have pumpkin beer, many different types. yeah, so it's kind of funny. So right now, it's like seasonal beer. And then, you know, people are also, it's kind of slowed down, but looking for Oktoberfest beers, which I still do have some left too. You know, domestics and imports. Yeah. I say on the wine side, I feel like it kind of varies like seasonally.
Okay.
So I feel like now, because, you know, in the summer, a lot of people are drinking rosé. But you can still drink rosé all year round.
It's true.
Please do. I still have some. Well, we also see a lot of tourists. So I get a lot of requests about Virginia wine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's kind of interesting thing about having Murphy's being on the walking mall is that, you know, we get this whole like neighborhood wine and beer aspect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's people who live nearby or, you know, or not even nearby, but, and then we have a lot of tourists. And so a lot of times they're looking for Virginia beer or they're looking for, you know, local beer. So I usually have Winchester Brewworks. I have Dividing Creek, you know, breweries from across from Virginia. And so, and then Virginia wine. So I have, you know, I have Brede.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of what we tend to see. So.
Awesome. Well, for those of you who are interested in visiting, Murphy Beverage Company is on the north end of the Walking Mall. You're right in between
Espresso Bar
and the pot. What else? In an empty space.
Yeah, what used to be the floor shop.
The old floor shop.
So Violino's is two doors down.
Two doors down. So
yeah.
And north end of the Walking Mall. When are you open?
11 to 6, Monday through Saturday, and 1 to 5 on Sundays.
Gotcha. So stop in, see Heidi. You can ask her how to pronounce sommelier.
Or don't.
Or don't. You can get pumpkin beer or don't. But plenty of tasty things, plenty of good advice, and a friendly face to answer all your questions. Thank you very much, Heidi, for coming in.
Thanks, Dan.
That is our show. Next time on the Rouse Review, we're going to be talking about neighborhood parks in Winchester, including all the fun new things that we have built, are building, or will build in our various parks, including a brand new park. So stay tuned for that in the next episode of the Rouse Review, where we'll be talking to Parks and Rec Director Chris Conyer. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you around City Hall.